With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
This NBA Game 3 Picks Edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast is brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today.
Hey, this is Larry the Cable Guy. You're listening to SGP. Wait, hold on. Say it again.
Everyone to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, second the money green, with my partner in picks, Ryan, real money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Dog.
Pretty amazing to see that football action on the ice tonight. There is some serious hitting going on.
How about our Knights? Well, Ryan, unfortunately, you were on the Panthers. But
it was a bad
choice. My Vegas Knights. Shout out to Derek Stevens, getting a lot of on-screen time behind the glass. Knights off to a great start. We're going to be talking, hopefully get a little more hockey talk in later on in the week.
How much do you think they paid for their patch on the jerseys and I guess those tickets behind the ice?
Yeah, I don't know if it is Vegas. You know how that goes, Ryan. Everything's a you pay for the patch, you get a little.
It's genius because the hockey players would rather go down to the Circa than the go to the Bellagio.
Oh man, yeah. If you're a professional athlete, the Circa is kind of the spot, especially if you're a hockey guy, because I feel like the hockey guys are the lowest maintenance. They're you know, man of the people. They would enjoy the scenery at Stadium Swim as many professional athletes would.
It's rugby on ice. Very honorable. Just about throwing back some beers and having a good time.
Ryan, we got an update from the YouTube chat. No sound. So hopefully we can get that that figured out. Patrick Fisher saying this is fine. We can do our own voices here.
Oh, we were getting some YouTube warnings too. So hopefully everything's good.
All right.
I'm assuming it's continued. We're going to power through.
Okay.
The yellow warning has gone away. So,
and we're back here live on YouTube, youtube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast. Make sure you smash that subscribe button live every Sunday to Thursday, 8:30 Pacific, and bonus shows 11:30 East. What were you getting at, Kramer?
I was going to say the kids might not remember, but they used to have no sound for television. So we were just reminding you of what it was like.
Taking you back. All right, enough messing around. We got
breaking news from the chat.
Moonoff and Scott. That Easy wants to hear the welcome again. You can go back. We will edit it back in. We got Moonoff and Scott going to be joining us from the NBA Gambling Podcast. Before we do that, Ryan, we do have this week's edition of
That Is a Disgusting Act
sent in from the Promo Cactus Twitter. Shout out to the Promo Cactus.
I thought you were going in a different direction here.
What do you mean?
No, I know you sent me this as well, but I thought we were going to break in to discuss like more gambling on our great league.
Oh yeah. The real men of the D-gen with the Colts player. We can save that one. Okay. We got an NFL futures episode. Maybe we save that one.
I thought you were going to call it a disgusting act because of our commissioner and what he's laid down a very clear law, guys. Let's restart it.
This is from the Stanley Cup game that we just saw, game two.
Everything's weird.
Over and Biz, to your point about the trainer and the stick, he's got the biggest knob in the league. Yeah. So if you're the trainer, it's pretty easy to pick out what his stick looks like on the stick rack because his knob is so huge.
Absolutely.
Over and Biz, to your point about the trainer and the stick, he's got the biggest knob in the league.
Yeah.
So if you're the trainer, it's pretty easy to pick out what his stick looks like on the stick rack because his knob is so huge.
Pretty easy to pick out which stick is his stick because he's got the biggest knob.
Oh, I'm just picturing a knob rack.
Biggest knob.
It's like when someone says bag of dicks.
I mean,
you got a knob rack over there.
And it reminded me when we had Gilbert on talking hockey, we were talking about hearing the word knob as an insult. Knob, really a five-tool word. It's just so good. All right.
great use of the word tool.
Hey, we're bringing the NBA guys on. Before we do, shout out to Edge Boost. Oh man, imagine if you use Edge Boost to get down on Kramer's bet of a Joker of 40 plus points, and what it was 10-1. And I also gave out Joker over 40 points parlayed with the Heat money line. Imagine the opportunities. Again, that's what's great about Edge. It gives you a little chance to double down on your favorite bet, and again, you're hedging, whatever it is. It's great to have access to more funds for your bankroll. And it's not some sleazy loan shark. 0% interest. Imagine that 0% interest. Again, Edge Boost can also be part of a responsible gambling plan. You can set up daily, weekly, monthly limits across all your accounts from one place with the Edge Boost Visa card. Again, it's the world's first ever bet now, pay later Visa card. Highly recommend it. Support SGPN, grow your bankroll by going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. To sign up today, that's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Must be 21 years or older. Problem gambling? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, let's bring on the guys joining us from the NBA Gambling Podcast, the MLB Gambling Podcast, the NFL Gambling Podcast. He does it all. Moonoff, the machine, Manji. What's happening, Moonoff?
Not much. I was just a little distracted because Kim Kardashian was wearing a t-shirt of her sister Kendall Jenner's all of her five ex-boyfriends and that play in the NBA. So I was just looking at that. I'll post it in our Discord.
Oh, that's a great that's great. Speaking of pop stars and NBA stuff, I don't know if you've seen, but the Taylor Swift curse. Basically, every team that has also been a stop on Taylor Swift's tour has been knocked out of the NBA playoffs. Now, the Nuggets have a tour date coming up for Taylor Swift. Miami, not on the T-Swifty tour.
How does she not? She's like the biggest, from what I understand. Both my daughters aren't Swifties. So
really,
from what I understand, she's huge.
Yes.
How are you not doing Miami? How big are you if you're not doing Miami?
Maybe it's not T Swift.
Does she play the football stadium? Maybe.
Maybe she goes to Florida State. Plays their state. I have no idea what her Florida plans are.
More importantly, what's Moonoff looking at that he's staring at the Kardashians?
He's got TMZ.
He's on my Twitter feed.
He prefers those boobs to these boobs.
Over here.
I did hear the Kardashian. Is it a show? Maybe. I'm a big TV guy. I wasn't aware. Apparently, it's coming back for another season, and it sounds like there's going to be a lot of drama, based on what Ryan Seacrest was telling me this morning.
This man, he knows drama when it comes to hitting bets.
Oh.
You know him. You love him. Scott Reichel from the NBA Gambling Podcast, the Tennis Gambling Podcast. What's happening, Scott?
Nothing much. I'm going to take partial credit for the Jokic 40 plus point bets that both of you guys had. So it feels good. I thought Jokic would have a good game. I wasn't sure if I'd be willing to go to 40, but I was going up to 35. Unfortunately, Denver losing was not something I had on my bingo card, but I was right about the over, and I was right about Jokic having a big game, assuming Miami and Spoelstra would pivot, pretty much limit the assists and let Jokic do whatever he wanted. And that's exactly what happened in the game. But nice job in Miami, evening up the series, and now things are getting interesting.
Yeah, not. And by the way, if the Clips team really wanted to do a deep dive instead of just blowing smoke up Sean's ass, which I appreciate that guilt coming out, but they really would have pulled the three or four times earlier in the episode that Scott says Jokic could just score 40 whenever he wants. He's just gonna play. He just played around and score. He you called for 40 multiple times and then you backed out at the end.
Scott got the ball rolling. And I think we all kind of, even though Scott was leaning more Nuggets, when we laid out the case of, hey, they're going to let him score, they're going to try and limit the assists. And I still thought Joker got like good passes off that probably should have been assists. They weren't helping him out.
Scott is the beautiful natural landscape. We are but mere artists.
He's the first domino. And then it just kept building and building till he hit some.
So I will say that both of you are like the Picassos and I'm the Bob Ross. Cause I can be the Bob Ross. I don't mind.
That is an amazing Photoshop. Head on a Bob Ross while he's like painting a little
parlay.
He's painting a parlay painter. I like it. He's crafting
the parlay painting.
I don't know. The fact that Miami won that game, that it's all tied up. The Heat shooting has been kind of crazy. The Heat have shot 48% plus from three, six times in the playoffs. In the 82 regular season games, they've only done that five times.
And how many of those games were games they came back from double digit?
Yeah. And then deficits. That's the other nugget. Game two was the Heat's seventh double digit comeback this postseason, tied for the most such wins in a single postseason in the last 25 years, joining the Warriors last season, the Heat in 2011-2012. Moonoff, should we just auto bet the Heat anytime they get down 10 in the finals? Like, what's going on here?
Team that doesn't give up, and I think this is a lot that we talked about here on your guys' show and also on the NBA pod, is that Eric Spoelstra just does a fantastic job of making in-game adjustments, whether it's at the end of the quarter, whether it's halftime adjustments, and whether it's going to the fourth quarter. I mean, this Heat team, they don't give up, man. I mean, like you said, they've come back multiple times, being down double digits in the playoffs, and it just kind of tells you the character of this team. Like, they take on the persona of Jimmy Butler, right? And like, they're going to play for the full 48 minutes, whether they're going to win or they're going to lose. And if they're down 10, I think you got a live bet, man. I think it's a great opportunity for you to make some money if you took the other side and you find a nice middle with the Miami Heat. But yeah, this team does not roll over, and I don't expect them to for the rest of the series.
Great series to trade, Sean. These games have just been delightful to trade.
No, I mean, if you're in game there, it does feel like there's some good opportunities.
How long are we into the show? Both the inaudible and the audible portions, 10 minutes at least.
Yeah.
Has anyone mentioned the ref? I know Scott's a man of honor and he would never bring up the refs, but you two scoundrels I can, if you want me to.
What's your, as someone
who made a lot of money on the last game, and I don't necessarily have a huge position overall on Denver for the series, and I do have an 18-1 ticket on Jimmy Butler for MVP. I thought what put the nail in the coffin and like hammered it like four times was when they called those two just bullshit ticky-tack fouls in the fourth quarter to then set up what would be a nice free throw shooting contest. Not saying this changes the game, but I was driving into the office that night and the radio broadcast of PJ Carlissimo, Doris Burke, and whoever the fuck. When that non-goaltending happened, I've never heard Doris Burke get more upset at the NBA, a league she loves. She said, that is a horrible call at a horrible time. I hope the story isn't about the refereeing after this game.
Because
some of the fouls were just boneheaded plays, like KCP fouling three-point shooters, but some of them were interesting. And I would say what was most interesting, Daddy, why did the referee all the way across the court call that foul? Great question. I don't know. My 11-year-old daughter is seeing things that seem a little odd out there. And again, when you're letting them play early and then you're calling ticky tack shit early in the fourth quarter, what are we trying to do? Again,
the conspiracy theory, and we gave out, I think we were all on the over.
What kills me is I laid this plan out like 2 weeks ago.
The over ended up hitting, but it sounded like, by all accounts, every sports book needed Denver and the under. So I feel like a lot of places got killed. So maybe they weren't tied
in. I said Denver's going to crush in game one, and then the Heat were going to come back. But then I completely was like, fuck this. I'm in on the Joker. Now I'm just pissed at the series now.
Yeah.
But by the way, who was the black official in the game last night?
Brothers?
Courtney Kirkland.
Courtney Kirkland.
He was the controversial guy that made the face when the bucket went in, right?
Oh,
I thought that was Eric Lewis.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong.
Different
guy.
That Jimmy Butler one, that was Rodney Mott. That was not Eric Lewis.
We're just accusing refs all over the place. Okay, cool.
Anyway,
right, making sure.
There were just a couple calls where it was like, damn, bro, you're getting real eager to make that call.
Scott, what was your take on the officiating last night?
I thought they were brutal, if we're being honest. But I know game one, people were going to talk about how, you know, they balanced it out because Miami got killed in the free throw department in game one. Once again, I just thought Miami wasn't being aggressive enough and they settled for too many jump shots. So I didn't think the officiating was that bad in game one. Game two, I know that Kramer just mentioned the start of the fourth quarter and how Miami, a jump shooting team, was in the bonus with like 9 minutes to go in the quarter. But forgetting about that for a second, you had the Jimmy Butler pass to Vincent, where he's standing out of bounds and they just didn't call it, which turned into a free 3 points. You had the three possessions in the span of about 2 minutes in either the second or third quarter, where Jokic complained about three separate calls in the span of about 30 seconds, and each call gave Miami the basketball. And I never saw a single replay on any of those plays besides the one with Bam going for a rebound where he knocked the ball out of bounds and they called it off Joker. But I saw three plays or so in a 2 minute stretch, which all went against Denver. And I didn't see a replay on two of those plays, and it all benefited Miami. I thought that was a little bit weird. And the goaltending, I thought it was an obvious goaltend live. Now on the replay, it looked closer, but I thought it was a goaltend. And I know you don't want to make the argument the same exact script would play out afterwards, but there's a huge difference being down three than being down one with about 10 seconds left.
Yeah,
mostly the goaltend, you can't miss that call in that situation. The out of bounds call for Butler, you can't miss that one either. And once again, I'm sure you can maybe vaguely remember the plays I'm talking about with Jokic basically yelling at the ref three separate times in the span of 2 minutes in either the second or third quarter. I got to see a replay of those plays. I still haven't seen it, but there were a couple of moments there where Denver got the short end of the stick. The KCP fouls were fouls. They were just really dumb fouls, so I'm not even excusing those. But it did feel like Miami was getting some calls that maybe they shouldn't have gotten, and Denver didn't exactly get the friendliest of whistles the entire night.
Look, I'm as someone who has officiated basketball games at the youth level, you got if anything with the goaltending, cool, you called nothing. It's always better to call nothing. The problem was they were sprinkling in a lot of calling of something.
Did Mike Malone use his challenge? I forget.
He didn't. He had two timeouts left to end the game.
Yeah. When I saw that goaltend, I go awesome as a Heat backer. But then I thought, I assume they were going to challenge that. I think he ended the game with his challenge. So I think some of that's on Mike Malone's.
I consume a fair amount of sports media. It doesn't seem like many people were like, it seems like the scab screenwriters are doing or script writers are doing a good job, because it's not dominating the media. People are just talking about, oh yeah, this makes sense. Cause to me, and I would go back and look at the stats, it strikes me as, it like in game one, when people were, if you're crying about the Heat not taking enough free throws, it seems like the Heat have to play in a game that involves free throws. Like if neither team goes to the line, I'd imagine Denver wins 9 out of 10 of those games. So it seems almost like the Heat just need the referees involved. They need those free throws, those made buckets, so they can sit back and rotate through Spoelstra's defensive scheme, which by the way, he's showing again that fucking this nerd ass video coordinator that Pat Riley. He's Spider from fucking Goodfellas. He just never got shot in the foot.
No one can figure out the zone. It's really pretty hilarious. Moonoff, if you're the Nuggets, what are you doing different going into game three here? Like, what adjustments are you making? We saw Spoelstra started Kevin Love game two, gave him some good minutes. I mean, Kevin Love defending Aaron Gordon, I think was a storyline.
Mark Jackson talking about Kevin Love.
What? He's staying in front of him? Again, that was very surprising to me. But what do you think? What do you think the Nuggets counter is here?
I mean, I don't really think they need to make a lot of adjustments. But one thing I think that I said that if they played with a lot more pace like they did during the regular season, and Mike Malone has said this during the playoffs as well, is that they're at their best when they're playing with pace.
Yeah.
And I think they kind of got away from that in the second half of the game in game two and in game one as well, where, you know, Miami did make a little run there, but it was that second quarter really that they were playing with a lot more pace and really created that separation in that first half. And they just get away from it. So I think that if they continue pushing the pace, they can really, you know, just, I think it's just that one adjustment for this team, because we just talked about in game two, some of those calls could have gone way in way or the other. And we'll be talking about Denver being up 2-0, heading back to Miami right now. So they only lost the game by 3 points. So I think if they just continue doing what they've done in the first two games, play with a little bit more pace, I think they're going to be fine. And I think that they can maybe carry that victory into game three and take a 2-1 lead.
Mike,
also Miami played like a near perfect first quarter.
Yeah. My boy Max Strus just came out. I think he hit his over 8.5 in like 10 minutes first quarter.
That's the other thing too. There's no way the officials of the 90s NBA are giving calls to these nobodies.
Mm.
Like there's an element of like, who the fuck are you, Duncan Robinson? Like, you're flailing like that because you suck.
You know, say what you will about Stern. He had like a strict policy when it came to who got good foul calls and who didn't.
Don't touch MJ like that.
Mike Malone postgame said, quote, "Let's talk about effort. Is the NBA finals and we're talking about effort." Malone said some Nuggets players were, quote, feeling sorry for themselves because they missed shots and it impacted the rest of the game. It did feel like there was some complacency.
I'd sit him.
Scott, would you sit Michael Porter?
Sit him.
But that's who he was talking about. Right? Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's a pretty safe choice. KCP was trying. He was just trying too hard because he kept running into shooters on the 3-point line.
Yeah.
MPJ wasn't guarding anybody half the game. Yeah. But it really seemed to me, I know Kramer's mentioning the free throws. The disparity really wasn't that bad. In fact, Denver actually had two more free throws. I just thought some of the calls missed were kind of egregious. The real story for Miami is, can they hit 3-point shots? Because in game one, they missed a bunch of wide open looks, mostly Strus, who went 0-for-9 from three in game one. Game two, he was great. Vincent was great in game two. Duncan Robinson had a great stretch to start the fourth quarter. But to address your question initially, it really seemed to me like KCP and Porter Jr. like sabotaged the entire game for Denver, because I know Murray wasn't great, hit a couple of big shots late, still had 10 assists. Jokic was great. We already know that. But you're looking at the minutes that KCP and Porter Jr. gave them. Did they do anything the entire game? Like, Porter Jr. at least had a double-double in game one because he had 13 rebounds. He only had 6 in game two. He went 2-for-8 from the floor, 1-for-6 from three, was a negative 15 in 26 minutes.
And
Caldwell Pope was a negative 14, but he played 10 more minutes than Michael Porter Jr. I thought KCP was the worst player on the floor. Just simply put, he fouled out in 36 minutes. He was fouling shooters left and right, and he only attempted 4 shots. But Porter Jr. was really bad. In fact, he got benched towards the end of the first half and even into the fourth quarter. He committed that foul on Bam when Bam had a free run for a dunk. And then I don't think Porter Jr. played again until KCP fouled out. So the real story for me and what they need to adjust is either getting better contributions from Porter Jr. or KCP, or letting Brown play more, because I thought Brown was actually really good in game two. Yeah. And I would have kept him in for longer, but they forced KCP back into the game in the fourth quarter when he was giving them absolutely nothing. And then he immediately fouled two more times on like the first 3 minutes he was back in the game in the fourth quarter. But for me, it really comes down to that shooting guard, small forward position. I would give more minutes to Brown, to both Browns, Bruce Brown and Christian Brown. And I potentially give less minutes to Porter Jr. and KCP. Or you hope either of them show up for game three, Because I think you'd agree that based on what we saw in game two, they were easily the worst two players on the court for basically the entire night.
You got to fight fire with fire, but get the tryhards out there. Like, Porter Jr. made bad decisions and didn't try hard. Get him off the court. The dude's wear the brown kid.
Get the greenies he's out wear, there.
He's basically an NBA greenie. He's wearing fucking leggings like that. Like, that's a greenie move if I've ever seen one. Like, on. Keep the it's legs.
Great for your
he's hammies. He's a bench player. He's got to keep everything warm. He's not used to playing all these minutes. He's going to overheat there. Look, I think it's, you have to battle effort with effort, and that's the Heat's plan, right? They want to drag you out into the deep water, as Dan Campbell would say, get you out there and
bite your kneecaps. Ironically, Detroit, getting back to the NFL, they had like a really gutless defense that got run all over. But Tony in the YouTube chat, I think, brings up a great point, and we're kind of getting to it here, but it did seem like Miami's game plan was, hey, we're going to try and stop Jamal Murray. We can't stop the Joker. We're just going to try and stop Jamal Murray. If we can stop Jamal Murray, at least slow him down, that can kind of disrupt the rest of their offense, force Joker to be the scorer that he necessarily doesn't want to be, and that creates some good opportunities for them. Getting to game three, we'll let you start off, Moonoff. What's the play here? The Heat once again are a dog. They just continue to be a dog regardless. They're not going to adjust the line. Heat are catching +2.5, +115 on the money line. Total sitting at 214.5. What's your take for the NBA Finals game three?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Miami here again. This line has moved from 2.5 down to 2. At home so far this season, or in this postseason, Miami as a home underdog, 4-0 against the spread, 3-1 straight up. The only concern I do have, I do believe they should get Tyler Hero back, but in what capacity is he going to play? Is it going to be a minutes restriction on him? And that might kind of mess up the flow for the Miami Heat. And depending on how many minutes he does play, whether it's 15 minutes, whether it's 20 minutes, you know, his first game back in over a month for the Miami Heat. But I do like Miami in this game. I do think they take a 2-1 lead. I think my more favorite play in this game is going to be the under 214.5. If you did bet the over in game two, I think you were very, very fortunate to get that over. Just because we talked about with the free throws and everything that kind of went down in that game. But I think we'll see more of a defensive effort. Like, this might be one of those ugly type of games where it's low 200s. I think maybe like the first 100 or 105 points wins this game, but under for me, and I'm going to take the Miami Heat +2 for game three.
Scott, what are you looking at here? Game three.
For me, I think I'm going to lean to Denver in this one. I don't feel great about it either way on the side. I do also kind of think it's tempting to be on the over in this game. I'm not sure if I'm going to fully go to the window with it, but I do think that Miami once again is going to stick with their game plan of just taking a ton of 3-point shots. They attempted 35 threes in game two, and they made 17 of them. So you can argue that there might be some regression. On the other hand, watching Miami this entire postseason, I'm not sure regression exists with this team because they constantly just shoot over 45% from three. Denver still gets whatever it wanted. And even though you ended up seeing Miami play a little bit of zone, Joker still dropped 40 points. Like, I didn't think Miami's defense was insanely great. It just seemed like Murray had an off night. Porter Jr. and KCP couldn't really shoot. I do think I'm going to lean to the over in this game, hoping that Miami and Denver maybe push the pace. Moonoff mentioned before, Denver might be more aggressive pushing the pace. I think Denver was fine. The issue was just miscommunications on defense. And if you're going to keep playing Porter Jr. 30 minutes a game or like 26 minutes a game, you might get a lot of those. And Miami's gotten a lot of good looks in the first two games of the series. I think I'm going to lean to the over, but I think I am going to lean to Denver, hoping for some form of regression in terms of just Miami missing some shots, or maybe Denver at least covering guys better on the 3-point line. But it doesn't change the fact that Joker is still unguardable. Miami has no answers for him. And the argument is, well, we're going to force him to pass more. We're going to force him to pass less and take more shots. But Sean, you pointed out he had a decent amount of assist looks and Denver missed shots as well. Yeah. I think I'm going to lean to Denver. I just feel like it's pretty fascinating that Miami finally steals a game. And it felt like everything had to go right for Miami. Yeah. And they still only won by 3 points.
That's a great point.
I'm going to lean to Denver. If Miami wins, it is what it is. You know, Miami's been the zombie team the entire postseason, but doesn't it feel like everything went right for Miami, whether it involved officiating, 3-point percentage, and just how the fourth quarter went? They still barely won the game. I found that a little bit concerning long term.
I was watching, I did. There is something about an NBA bad call that just sounds better than other leagues. It just crisp, like, wow, what the fuck are you doing? And that Denver crowd had a lot of those moments in that game.
Like,
I can't
every replay on the Jumbotron, you knew when they made a bad call because the fans are just looking at
it. Well, the goaltending, it sounded like the Roman Coliseum.
I just started laughing. I think it was just me in the watching God's Eye. I just started laughing out loud to myself because when that happened, you knew as a Heat backer, I'm like, this is our night.
Yeah.
But to Scott's point, like, I agree with all of Scott's points about, like, hey, they're due for regression. And this team, every game, every series in the playoffs, it keeps coming up like, well, they're going to regress back to who they were in the regular season. Oh, they should come back to earth here, and this team just doesn't do it. I heard someone compare the Nuggets. I think it was Russillo and Simmons. They were comparing this Heat team to the to Joe Flacco and the Baltimore Ravens that year, where they just kept winning, and you're like, Joe Flacco's not going to pull this off. Like, they're going to lose to the more talented team, and they keep kind of pulling stuff out of their ass.
So is KCP the Broncos safety who completely just misplayed?
He was the guy. Oh man, that was. I still remember
poor Dick Olson.
Yeah, we were hanging out with Dick Olson, who was a huge Broncos fan. He literally, we're out in LA, and he had already booked, like, in the early fourth quarter, his flight and hotel for the AFC championship game back in Denver before the game was over. Fuck. Oh man. And he had a giant foam Broncos hat, and then he just passed out after the game. And it was a great,
I do want to ask you, since I kind of brought it up, do you think Miami could have played a better game? Like, where can Miami improve after what happened in game two? It felt like Denver had a pretty mediocre game. They were up 15. Now, to be fair, a lot of those came in Cody Zeller minutes, and he'll probably never play again. So I'm not sure if Miami's going to change the rotation or not. But still,
Cody Zeller,
it feel like Miami basically played a borderline perfect game in the NBA Finals, and they still only won by three? And Denver had a decent but not great game.
I mean, well, Miami, I'll jump in there. Miami was up by 12 points, about 3:39 left.
Well, they were, and then they stopped. And they hit a couple three. Denver stopped fouling them three pointers.
Yeah, they. I mean, Aaron Gordon hit a 3-point shot, and then Jamal Murray hit another one. Actually, he hit two down the stretch that kind of made it a closer game than it was. But I think that Scott, you're right that Sean talked about at the top of the show that Miami has to shoot 48%+ from 3-point land for them to have success. And they've been doing it. I think we've been doubting this team all throughout the playoffs. I know we talked about in the NBA pod that, hey, against Milwaukee, nobody picked them, but here they are. They beat New York. Mm-hmm. They beat the Boston Celtics. They are now tied 1-1 going into game three of the NBA finals. At what point do we stop doubting them and saying that, hey, they legitimately, hey, have a chance to win this championship?
Yeah. I'm giving them props. I just think it's a good zigzag theory opportunity.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
I feel like people are so low on Denver because they dropped a home game where Miami shot about 48% from three and were the beneficiaries of a couple of questionable whistles throughout the game. I do acknowledge Miami was up by a lot and Denver made the game very interesting late, but I think it's a good zigzag opportunity spot because you mentioned Hero might come back. Besides the potential rust, whose minutes is he taking? Because most of Miami's bench has been really good. Is he taking Martin's minutes?
Well, it's interesting because
I know Martin's been dealing with the illness that they said after game two. So if he's still ill, maybe, I think he takes his minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I think I guess as far as like what they can do to improve, I mean, obviously Butler is a scorer. I think maybe you can get a little bit more out of him. But to your point, you're right. Like, everything worked. I mean, you're getting good buckets from Kyle Lowry and Cody Zeller. But again, that's kind of how they've been winning. And I guess the counter to that is, can we trust these role players around Murray and Joker on the road? Well, we'll see. I mean, obviously Denver's been pretty good in the playoffs, but going on the road, and you mentioned zigzag. Honestly, to me, the move is whoever loses game three, bet them huge on game four, because I just feel like this series is going to go back to Denver 2-2. And I'm kind of going back and forth as to whether the Heat win game three or game four or vice versa. Like, I don't see it going back to Denver 3-1 either way.
Well, I mean, let's think of it, because at this point, fully committed to the fact that it's fixed, or it's at least
Heat in seven, baby,
predetermined. So I think you have to have Denver win this game. Because okay. you need to have Miami and Jimmy Butler in the underdog role.
Well, the conspiracy theorists in the chat are pointing out that the entire public, I don't know if you want to look at the bet splits, Ryan, but he was saying it's really lopsided. Obviously, we're taping this Monday night.
In favor
night.
Of who?
Denver.
Denver. Okay. The public's on Denver right now. Again,
who
it's
bets early.
Early?
Sharps.
Oh, okay.
But so, we're just the four guys banging our swords together right here. Of course.
Got it all wrong. You got to wait for the referee report to see who's reffing. Then
yeah,
you
that's a fair point.
I don't know what everybody's
Foster
doing.
Is going to make an appearance? Who knows? Golly. But all I know is once again, I know Miami has been doing this all postseason long and they've been great. And once again, I'm not taking away from what happened in game two. They did what they needed to do. They came back. I thought they were dead in the second quarter when they went on that massive run with Jokic being on the bench. And then Miami came back anyway. I'm just saying, if you need to shoot over 45% from three to win, and Denver can get 40 from Jokic, and Porter Jr. and KCP can give you nothing, and Murray doesn't do much either, I do think that with everything that happened in game two, it would suggest that Denver has a lot of room to obviously improve for game three. And once again, if you want to lay 2.5, fading a team shooting north of 45% from three, which in my opinion is the only way Miami is going to win, there might be some value on Denver. That's all I'm saying.
I quickly want to jump in here.
Jump in.
Scott mentioned the second quarter. That was one more play that I did have. Denver -1. You can find this on DraftKings right now. First two games of this NBA Finals. Game one, Denver outscored Miami Heat 35-24. And then game two, 30-22 in game two. I think this is when Jimmy Butler does go to the bench for the Miami Heat. So I think that's something I'm going to continue riding with Denver -1 in the second quarter.
Well, and we that would be the answer to the question, I think, is Jimmy Butler has a game. He hasn't really showed up.
You know, he hasn't really done.
And honestly,
I mean, he had like a solid game, I thought.
Scott's right. He's hurt.
He made some big shots in the fourth quarter, but he was kind of coasting for most of the game.
Also made some bad shots, I thought. Honestly, if I'm Denver, figure out a way to attack him. That's the problem. He's sitting there in the corner, not doing shit on defense. You're putting no pressure on him. And if he is hurt, test him.
Yeah.
I'm going to give Butler a little bit of props on defense though. I thought he did a good job on Murray. It seemed like he was kind of trying to deny a little bit on Murray. Now with every offense nowadays, you're going to be setting endless amounts of screens. So I'm not sure how long he's going to actually guard Murray, but I thought Butler did a pretty good job in ball denial spots, which might actually pivot to a prop I was going to mention later, but I do like Butler under 25.5 points.
Ooh. Okay.
I mean, if Miami's going to keep taking this many threes, and I don't know why Miami would change anything because they've been getting wide open threes the first two games, and now Butler spending a lot of energy on defense guarding Murray, and Murray did have an off night. I don't know why Butler would suddenly like go for 35 or Miami would pivot their entire offensive game plan. It seems like the plan is let Butler facilitate and we'll see what happens. Now, Butler can go nuts from the floor. Maybe that's the case. But after what happened in game two, why would Miami really change much of the game plan? I just think that Butler is going to be more of a facilitator. I might be tempted by the double-double or maybe 10-plus assists for Butler. But Miami just keeps chucking up threes, and it's been working for him. So I think I'm leaning to under in Butler again. People are going to keep waiting for the over for Butler to hit. I still think he's injured. I think he's definitely playing through something. But it does seem like he's embraced more of a facilitator role in the series.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like the prop that jumped out at me was Jimmy Butler over 6.5 assists. And to your point, like I think he had 9 last game. There's a world where he gets a 10 assists and he gets that double double, and that's a nice. The double double I think is like 240, 250. That's a good price on that. So I'm with you on that facilitator angle. I'm gonna take Jimmy Butler over 6.5 assists. I'm also just gonna take the Heat. I mean, I just can't get off them, especially at home. We'll see if they win. Then maybe I'll have to take Denver in game four, as much as it pains me. But I'm gonna roll the dice one more time with the Heat.
Son,
and I'm gonna.
These are basic ass story writers. Mm. Jimmy Butler's a dog. You can't put him in that lead role. Plus,
can that narrative apply though when Miami's an underdog in every game?
Yes,
that's true.
That is a good point.
I'm just wondering because you know Miami in a corner, they're a dog. Well, they are getting 2.5 in game three, so they are technically
they're always the dog. It's crazy how they've been favored so few.
The one time they were favored, they lost in game four against Boston.
Against Boston.
One time.
As far as your question about the betting split, so
but I'm also going to be on the over. I do think Scott was mentioning Munoff, even who likes the under, pointed out the pace. I could see this being slightly more pace. So I think that's good.
Before I mentioned the betting splits, I did find a 98-1 little build a bet.
Ooh. All right. Cause I have a 70-1 first basket play that'll save.
I wanted to throw it out early. Wait, just to make
70-1 first basket.
Yeah. Are you intrigued, Scott?
I'm curious where you're going with this one.
Stay tuned.
All right.
You just blew Scott. I wanted to throw this out there to make sure everyone else was aware of the stakes we're playing for tonight. 40 points, 13 assists for Joker. Murray, 6 3-pointers. That's the crazy part. That's it.
That's it.
98-1.
That's a hell of a parlay.
That seemed like some value.
So it sounds like you're
three things have to be right.
So it sounds like you're on the Nuggets laying the 2.5 and over. Oh, as
I'm
well?
I'm just going hard Nuggets.
All right.
My Nugs.
Woo, it's smoking.
Plus Miami
Nugs on the line.
That home crowd down there in Miami. Ooh, shaking in my boots.
My edge boost double down play of the day is going to be the Heat and the 2.5. But sports gambling podcast.com
money line
/ all right, yeah, it's Heat on the money line +115. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. 0% interest to double up your bet there. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. My D-gen play of the day. Scott said 70-1 first basket. What could that be? First basket and the type of basket. So Kevin Love to score the first basket of the game, and it's a 2-pointer.
No,
I'm predicting a long jump shot just inside the arc. Kevin Love, 70-1.
What's his 3-pointer?
I'm gonna say Kevin Love to dunk it on the first attempt.
Well, that's gotta be at least 100-1 at that
point. Minimum.
Yeah. Can he dunk?
It's like James Harden had a first basket dunk against the Celtics. That was like
off a similar odds.
Yeah,
the first minute of the game.
I will say
that was game 7, I think.
Yeah.
If you missed it, Mark Jackson talking about Kevin Love's outlet pass ability was I mean,
he is the greatest outlet passer of all time.
It's the strangest thing to have such a strong opinion and conviction around.
It was,
I think he's right, to be fair. To be honest.
No, he's not wrong.
You're comparing him to like Wes Unseld, or you could probably throw Joker in there, but Joker's arguably the best passer of all time. It's either him or Magic, but yeah, I mean, Kevin Love's been a great outlet passer since UCLA. That was a storyline back then. So I understand it's like the most niche thing to praise somebody for, but it's was right. I think Kevin Love might be the best outlet passer of all time.
My favorite,
Sean, you gotta brag about your outlet pass.
underrated outlet passer. My favorite moment from the announcers was, I don't know if you saw, but Gabe Vincent was, there was a moment where Gabe Vincent was really sad that Kevin Love missed him on an open possession.
Oh, gave him a hug?
Yeah, and Kevin Love gave him a hug, and Van Gundy's like, oh, what are they hugging now? Because you say, he goes, he missed the open basket. He said he's sorry. Like, he should have passed it to you. We're hugging it out here.
Van Gundy.
And the other announcers were just like, yeah, I guess we are.
He's got 3 years before he gets canceled accidentally for being a grandpa. Something. Yeah.
It was just a hilarious old guy take. It was really great. Moonoff props. What's jumping out at you?
Yeah, I put a little same game parlay together here. If you want to play them separately as well, you mentioned the Jimmy Butler assists. I took that over 6.5. Jamal Murray's had 10 dimes in both of the first two games here in the NBA Finals. So I added that over 8.5 for Jamal Murray. Assist, and then Bam. Right now, the market has it at 32.5 for his points, rebounds, and assists combined. He's gone over this in each of the first two games rather easily here in the NBA Finals. I'm trying to pull up the exact numbers here, but game one, 26 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists. And then game two, 21 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. So cleared both of those numbers. So I'm going to play all those separately. But then if you want to same game parlay it, it's 8-1.
Ooh, nice. I also like toss a little play there on Kyle Lowry over 7.5 points. The guy,
is he
just,
all right?
What do you mean? Is he hurt?
He's like something's up with him.
I don't know.
Lowry, he just sticks his legs out trying to draw 3-point fouls.
Yeah, he's just a crafty, like dirty veteran who figures out how to get a couple buckets. He's
wagging is slowing him down.
Yeah, he's got that giant butt. He like pushes out to draw fouls.
I'm envious.
Like any way he can get to the line, he does, and then he'll hit like one or two threes, and he'll get you that 8 points. Scott, anything else you want to toss out plays wise?
Yeah, I know Murray assists is tempting because he had 10 in each of the first two games, but I am actually going to look at Jimmy Butler in this one. I mentioned the assists, but if you want to parlay 10 plus assists Woo-hoo. With under 25 and a half points, in other words, Butler to keep his facilitating role and maybe not look to score that much, that is 10 to 1.
Love it. Love that idea and love that. I, even as a Jimmy Butler stan, I don't think he's not trying to score. Like he does that move where he like runs under the basket and then kicks it out to the three.
Yeah, so, he saves a scoring for the final like 6 minutes of regulation. But yeah, since you have the Heat winning, you're assuming they're going to keep hitting threes. And yeah. Butler's usually the facilitator for those threes. So
yeah, so maybe even tie in Heat money line with that, because if he's getting assists, they're probably going to win the game.
I'll tell you what the Heat money line in there is. Yeah, if you throw the Heat money line into that, it is 21 to 1.
Hashtag Dejens only.
And then you put in Kevin Love first basket exact 2 point, and then we're all millionaires.
You can parlay that, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's where they flag your account.
Cowards.
They flag your
Kramer.
Account.
Any other picks you want to toss out?
Was 98 to 1? Was did you want
that
more?
Was well, I don't I assume that was it, but I don't. Sometimes I wrap things up. You're like, oh, what? I don't get to say another pick.
I just wanted to make sure I went first. That's all.
All right. You for the record, your 98 to 1 is locked in, ready to go. Big thanks to Scott and Moonoff. Make sure you subscribe to the NBA Gambling Podcast if you haven't already.
Smash tennis.
Also, tennis gambling
was
podcast.
On God's eye today.
Yeah, we got a little tennis going. MLB again, daily picks pods. Moonoff and the boys over there.
Yeah, Scott. Actually, Scott, feel free to if you just randomly slide into our DMs with a tennis play throughout the day. That's acceptable.
I mean, all the picks are the podcast. So
yeah, there you go. Scott's not going to give
like
them to
and
free.
Subscribe.
God, these paywalls are tough.
Yeah. Oh, it's yeah. Right. That's what's great. Completely free. And I like Scott. He's like, hey, I'm doing the show.
Get the
you got
out of here.
You want the picks?
I actually
to the
just
show.
Posted the episode for the quarters right before we went live. So all that right. Is up now.
Check that out. Make sure you smash the subscribe button on our podcast, all the podcasts on the SGPN network. Download the app. Make sure you keep entering the contest, because there's daily for the Stanley Cup final and the NBA finals. There's daily stuff in there as well for you to enter. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean, Stack of the Money Green, and he is Ryan.
The final answer, it's like a 60-40 split, not that crazy.
Kramer, let it ride.